We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fellas, listen up. All you ever ask for is an opportunity. You got it today. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
The Rock Pile Report with Buffalo Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer.
Be aggressive. You have literally nothing to lose. You're a borderline football team. If I don't keep laughing about this stuff, my teeth are going to turn around and devour my brain.
The Bills make me wanna.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Rock Pile Report podcast. I'm your host, Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer. That's my producer, Chris Krueger.
It was fun having a week off, wasn't it? It was kind of nice.
Yeah, I enjoy having a week off.
What did you do with your free not podcasting time?
Well, it's not a not podcasting time for me because, you know, I produce After the Snap with Blake and Reed. So That was still a thing.
No, folks, we have a full show for you tonight. It was a nice week. You know, taking a little time away from having to drum up show prep and try to put together a podcast and come in here and try to think of new snarky comments to make about Chris's wardrobe and his hair. Like, it was a relaxing week. I'm happy to be back here. It feels good. I almost screwed up the intro. Like, it just didn't come out as cleanly as I wanted it to, which I guess is one of those things, like reps.
Like, yeah. Yeah, like football reps.
Stuff becomes muscle memory. We have a full show for you tonight. We have Chris's, I guess, the host of Chris's other podcast, Bills Captain Reed Ferguson, is going to be joining us tonight. But first, I want to talk about something else that happened during my week away from podcasting. So the other day, I come home, and there's a nondescript white bag package sitting on by my front door.
It's not nondescript. It is descriptive. You have glasses on. Read it.
But I don't read. Who reads what? Okay. Chris, when a package shows up at your doorstep, do you automatically read who it's from before you open it?
Yeah, I do. Like when Kyle Washington sent us beer, and I might slip my mind that, oh, beer's being sent to us, and I'll be walking up my driveway, and I'll see this pack, like a giant package, and go, what the fuck is this? And then I look at it, and I was like, oh, this is from Las Vegas. It's from Kyle Washington. Like, I read the package.
You're a lunatic. I just open things. You have to. Let's just get to getting. Let's stop beating around the bush, right? I mean, that's how I live.
Yeah, you don't necessarily do that, even when things are DoorDashed to you like pizza from Picasso's time.
You just eat it. It's not my fault that it wasn't my DoorDash order. It's like, listen, you dropped this off at my house. You said it was paid for. I told you it wasn't. It wasn't mine. And the guy got in his car and walked away anyway. Well, I protested long enough. I feel like I did my due diligence. Now I have to eat it. You dropped off chicken fingers and pizza to my house. That's a wrap. Whoever didn't get their pizza, that's on you. Or for trusting DoorDash not to screw up your food. But in any event, so I have this package waiting for me on my doorstep. It's just a white, you know, U-line bag, bubble mailer. And I bring it inside the house. My wife goes, yeah, it was an awkward-shaped package. I shook it. I don't know what's in it, and I'm not opening it. So I take it, and I rip into it. Now, there's no paper in here. I can feel that there's no documentation. There's no instructions. There's just a round object at the bottom of the bag. So I rip this thing open, I put my hand in, And what I pulled out was nothing I could have ever conceived would be mailed to me at any point in my life. Chris, I want you to hold this. Describe to our listeners what it is you're holding in your hand.
It's more of a like a pear oval shaped. It's brown. It's delicious when you steam it. You'd probably probably have this. This is probably something you would use with a steak.
It's a damn russet potato. And what's written on the potato, Chris?
Brian Daboll and I thank you for a lovely dinner.
I got trolled via potato by Greg Thompson of CoverOne.net. Now, you all know about our steak dinner bet, which currently is scheduled to be paid on June 12th. Saturday, June 12th, I'm going to take Greg Thompson out to a fancy dinner. But I just got made fun of via potato in the mail. Apparently, it's through some service called AnonymousPotato.com. Who comes up with this?
You probably could come up with something like that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'll say this. I'm not even mad. I'm impressed. You know me. I love pettiness and pranks and just gags for... This is a good one, because who expects to get a potato mailed to them making fun of them for something they screwed up?
Yeah, it's clearly written by a woman, so...
So it's nice and legible handwriting?
Legible handwriting. Like, I just wonder, for the person that, like, oh, where do you work? I work for AnonymousPotato.com. Oh, what do you do there? Are you in, like, marketing or management? No, I write on the potatoes.
I'm a potato calligrapher, as they call me. My official title. So now I'm holding this thing in my hand and I'm looking at it. And the question becomes, Chris, what do I do with this potato? What do I do with it? I mean, you're not going to leave it on a shelf and keep it somewhere for what? I mean, potatoes don't work like that. I mean, there was a sticker inside the bag that said, do not eat this potato. Right?
Yeah.
But there was a part of me, because I'm an animal, that when I saw the potato, I belly laughed. Like, I burst out laughing. And then my second instinct was kind of like in the movie Super Troopers, when the bar of soap gets put by Farva in Rabbit's coffee.
Yeah.
And the guy just takes a bite out of it. And they were like, Rabbit, take a bite out of it. Show him he can't punk you. I almost took a bite out of it. And that's when my wife's like, didn't that sign say not to eat the potato? She's right. I have no idea what they've done to this.
You know what I would do?
What?
I would wrap that thing in foil, put it in the oven, bring it to the chop house, and then do a 1-2 switcheroo when Greg goes to the bathroom. That's what I would do.
Folks, I open it up to you, our loyal Twitter followers. Tweet us at Rockpile Report and let us know, what should I do with this hilarious gag potato? If you love listening to us here at the Rockpile Report, what's stopping you from grabbing the mic and starting your own show? There's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everybody the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you're going to receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, pretty much every listening platform that exists. And the best part? You can get all of that for only $15 a month, which is essentially the same rate as any other hosting site would charge just for the initial setup. If you're ready to do more than just listen to us talk about our favorite team, then make your voice heard over in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So without further ado, tonight's guest of honor, Bills captain Reed Ferguson. How are you, sir?
Guys, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, I got a first question right out the gate. You had your daughter this spring, and because she was born in the spring, you literally have been here for the last 10 months in Buffalo. You have not gone back to Atlanta. So with that said, how much barbecue sauce is left in the refrigerator?
I just cleaned out the pantry a few weeks ago, and I think we have, I'm going to say total from what you left me when I moved back here, I'm going to say there's probably 6 bottles left, not of barbecue, but some of the other marinade stuff too. So I appreciate it. It's lasted this long. I mean, you know how much I use barbecue sauce, but yeah, I was able to scratch empty a few bottles when I did ribs a couple weeks ago. So
yeah, on a Traeger. You did them on a Traeger. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's not like you're cooking with real fire over there, boss.
Whoa.
Folks,
we're gonna have to take this discussion off the air.
Folks, Reed Ferguson and I could have a whole barbecue argument over Traeger versus live fire, but I'm not gonna do that to him. Instead, I want to talk to Reed. Just it's good to catch up with him because he's done spots on our show for years. You know, we've gotten to know him. I love talking to Reed because I just like getting his perspective as a player of the game. But we haven't talked to him in a while, and there's sort of a reason for that. I mean, when you go back to the ending of the 2020 season, Chris. Now, and Reed, I hope you don't mind that I'm going to say this on air, but there was a day after the end of the 2019 season where shortly after you came home, after the loss to Houston, we all met up for dinner. At that point, Chris had a different girlfriend. You didn't have a baby. You weren't married. We all met up for dinner at the Ebenezer Ale House.
I wasn't even engaged.
No, you weren't even engaged. And so we all went out to dinner. And when we got seated, they sat us in front of the biggest TV in the entire room. And as we were sitting there waiting for the waitress to come take our order, ESPN, which is on the TV, flashed.
Is this a barbell?
No, this was at...
Where were we at?
We were at Ebenezer Ale House in West Seneca.
That's right.
And they flashed the play where Trent Murphy and Matt Milano could have sacked Deshaun Watson in that game. And instead he escaped, and that set up the game-winning field goal. And now this is the thing. A lot was made of that one article that was written about Josh Allen and his friends and about what his attitude after the game and how they went out golfing. And then the Chiefs-Houston game was on and his attitude and how his friends could tell it affected him emotionally. In that moment, sitting there at the Ebenezer Ale House, it occurred to me that you hadn't seen that yet. You were on the sideline for that play. So you have no idea how painfully close they came to bring down Deshaun Watson and setting up the Bills to potentially win that game. And watching you watch it in real time, you're not an overly emotional guy. You're pretty middle of the road. I know you to not get too high or too low, but what I saw was a flicker of somebody who just looked like they got punched in the stomach. And because of that, when the 2020 season ended, I didn't want to rush right into a conversation with you about it because I was just like, the guy, maybe we let this one breathe for a second. Is there some appreciation for that on your end?
Definitely, and that's probably an accurate accurate statement as far as not being too high or too low. But yeah, I mean going back to talk about a more recent, somewhat recent example of pretty much the same story. Throughout the Chiefs game, obviously they don't play. You know, when you're in someone else's stadium, they don't play a lot of the reviews that make their team look bad. Correct?
They're correct.
So, it took until after the game for, I don't know, 95% of the team to see some of the cheap shots that they took at us during the game. Some of the linemen and such. I can't remember who they
were.
Oh,
no, I know who they are. I can name them all for you. Flags and such
should have been thrown, probably should have been thrown. And you just have to wonder, you know, does that get called in Buffalo? Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, to go back and take a different perspective a couple days later, you know, I think it helps learn from the experience, learn from the loss, so you can kind of see what you have to improve on going into next year. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. It always sucks to lose at the end.
Considering how you felt in the wake of 2019, did this feel any different?
Yes, definitely, because we were one step away instead of a couple more steps away. So in that regard, it did. But also, I think because we had such a good year, it really felt like we had a good chance to make a run at it. And we did. I mean, we gave it our best shot. But, you know, a couple of plays one way or the other, that game turns out different in Kansas City. You never know. But, yeah, I mean.
No, I hear you. No, I hear you, brother. And so it's one of those situations where you go and you move on from that and you roll into what I've been just referring to as the summer of Ferg. Because for you, everything's been coming up heads. I mean, you have a first of all, you're a girl dad, you new daughter. Congratulations. I mean,
you appreciate it.
I hear the pictures on social media that your wife posts. She's adorable. I thought my kid's I have to say my kid's the cutest kid in the world.
That's your parental obligation.
I'd give your daughter a cute close second.
1B.
1B. It's phenomenal just to see you guys being so happy about this stuff.
Appreciate
now,
it.
What I love is the fact that you decided to take this time away from football to start your own podcast, the After the Snap podcast. Now, first of all, how did this come together and how did you decide to pick this dad bod with 9 pounds of hair product as your producer?
Well, first off, I'll answer the second question first. It was easy choice because he produces a very successful podcast already. So it was an easy choice for Blake and myself to make that decision. But to answer your question about starting After the Snap, Blake and I had been thinking about for a couple of years now how to kind of take advantage of our platform and our brand at the moment while we have the platform that we do. And with him being drafted last year and making the team, having a good season, and us in our own worlds having our personal success, you know, that we've had, we just felt it was probably a good idea to try and take advantage of where we are right now and to put some content out there for people to enjoy. You know, when we kind of put some feelers out there, you know, once we kind of decided we were going to start the podcast, and then we kind of put some feelers out there on socials about, you know, what do you guys want to hear about? What are some topics you'd like to cover? We got a ton of responses, which reaffirmed to me and Blake that that people want to hear what we have to talk about, whether that's in the locker room, outside the locker room, you know, on the field, stories of the off season, whatever that may be. You know, people we've met, funny stories, coaches, other players, teammates, you know, you name it. We've got a bunch of topics to talk about, but it just kind of reaffirmed kind of what. Why we were starting it, because we felt like there was, I'm going to say a market, but there was a niche group of people out there from both fan bases that cared about what we have to talk about. So we're having fun with it. I mean, we just released episode 6 this morning, and we're having fun with it. I hope Chris is enjoying it as well. I hope he's enjoying listening.
Oh yeah, I mean,
he pipes in every now and then, but
no, that's like one of one of my hobbies is legitimately editing audio.
No,
I have a blast sitting there by myself going through the podcast and editing it down to its final product.
He loves it when we have another guest in studio or when we have someone to spitball with, because that's where he's in his zone. Now,
there's the answer to your second question on why we chose Chris, right?
Okay.
I can probably count on two hands how many people in the immediate area or the immediate acquaintance group of my entire life who enjoy doing
enjoy
that
editing
as
audio.
Much as Chris does. Seriously,
it's the only reason this podcast got anywhere is because Chris loves doing it. Chris legitimately loves listening to me get drunk and rant about sports.
Yeah, well,
that's the only reason this exists.
As soon as I had heard from Reed and Blake that, oh, I think we want to do a podcast, I immediately went home and YouTubed both of their names to find audio clips, and I pieced them together into what you hear is the intro.
That's amazing.
So for me doing that, it was when they're like, oh, I think we're going to do a podcast. Well, here's an intro. Hopefully this kickstarts your thought process and wanting to do it for sure.
Here's the question I have. As somebody who content creates, like that's my thing for the show. Chris does all the production. I'm the content creator. I bring it here. I bring it to the show. And Chris makes it sound good. Is the process of creating your own content? I mean, because you're used to being the content subject. You know, and your brother both play the game and people make content about the thing you do every week. Now you're the person tasked with creating the content. Is it different than you expected? And have there been any moments so far where you kind of realize maybe this isn't as easy as it looked when we started?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even though we're only six episodes in, I mean, I'm kind of, you know, I've got a list of, you know, pretty much all of the topics from the feedback that we got. And, given that I would like to keep the podcast roughly 45 to 50 minutes, right? So, some of the things that we've gotten great feedback on, or you know, stuff like that, is different segments that we've done, the beer reviews, the short snaps where we kind of talk about a current event, whatever that may be, and then we have the bulk. You know, in the beginning, we have the bulk of the episode. So each week we're looking at, you know, I'm trying to make 20 to 25 minutes worth of something that people want to listen to. Right. So whatever that topic is right now, we're doing a series of day in the life of a long snapper. And last week was, what does a training camp day and week look like? Preseason games, stuff like that. This week we talked about away games and our favorite things about away games, different how we prepare differently, things like that. Next week we're going to do home games. But like that's the first 20 to 25 minutes. Then we do then we got the next segment and then the beer review and the mailbag. And that that's kind of how it's set up at the moment. But I think segmenting it like that kind of helps me prioritize the different pieces of the podcast to make it easier when we're in the planning stage every week.
Has there been a moment where you felt a little overwhelmed trying to run a podcast or prep for a podcast?
Not yet. I think we have enough content right now to where we're not struggling for ideas. But I would be lying if I didn't say, okay, well we said we were gonna go a week, you know, weekly. When are we going to run out of content, right? Like because we're not like, you know, like you guys, we're not like Bill's podcast or news podcast or whatever, where you get daily content to talk about, right? Like I'm not in the business of discussing contracts and stuff on Bill's, you know, who's going to make the team and depth charts, right?
Like
the
draft and everything. If you did, they would hate you.
That's not even what I want to do. I want Blake and I are in the same boat. We want to share our stories, share our experiences, share our knowledge, because We have a lot. We have a lot of long snappers that listen to us.
That's
for
awesome.
Information. We've given advice on high school, recruiting, college. You know, kind of how to do that. All that stuff as you're making your way through school and through the ranks and stuff. So that's an aspect of it. So we have to cater to that part of our listener base. So there will be a time when we say, okay, well, that's the end of our content list. What are we going to talk about next? And that's hopefully that's not for a long time, but I'm not going to say no, because there is going to come a time when it's going to say, all right, I'm going to throw my hands up and I'm going to say, what are we talking about this week?
Listen, you'll figure it out, though. And that's the beauty of podcasting, is that you learn as you go. Chris, we've been doing this for 6 years now.
Yeah, you haven't taken any advice that I've ever given to you from my radio days. Well, when I do After the Snap, I give advice that I had learned in my couple years in radio to Blake and Reed, and they listen and take it into account, whereas you just...
Yeah, because, listen, they play football. They're used to taking direction and coaching from people. You know who's not?
You.
This guy. This guy, bad
dude. True, you don't have a boss?
No, I do, but I'm not micromanaged. It's one of the best things about my job, is that I'm allowed to do things the way I need them to be. I see fit to have them done, as long as it yields the right result.
And that's the way. You take instruction from Larissa?
Sometimes. Sometimes. And even that's dicey. So I guess that's my point. It's going to be a fun experience for you, and I'm glad that you got into this. I really am. It's been a lot of fun listening to you guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like as you evolve and as you learn how to create content. And as you run into some of those rough patches where you go, hey, I don't know what to talk about now. This is where I got to dig deep and find ways to get creative, because that's where, I don't know, that's when this has been the most fun for me. And I hope that you find that same experience. Now, moving on to other things that have gone well for you this summer, to my knowledge, the first Buffalo Bills player to get their own beer. To get their own beer. If anybody out there wants to try it, it's Mr. Nice over at First Line Brewing in Orchard Park. It's right around the corner from the stadium. First of all, how cool is it knowing that you're the first to have that kind of honor, and it was brewed by a group of guys you know and enjoy hanging out with personally?
Yeah, it was great, and I think the funny story behind it, and I'll keep it short, but basically I was hanging out with them, I think it was mid-February probably, and I went over there for a brew day just to kind of see how they operated, see how the process worked, because, I was interested in how they operated. What all goes into from start to finish to canning a beer. And so they let me come over that day. I helped, mix some of the oats in and all that stuff, some of the hops and whatever it is. But it turns out a couple weeks later, that was that batch that I was brewing was the base beer for what ended up being Mr. Nice for my surprise birthday party. So they made a ton of cans for the birthday. I mean, you guys both saw, y'all were both there. They had a ton of cans, so they sold them. They're open now for on tap. But they got beer on tap now, but. At the time, they were just selling cans, 4-packs of cans on the weekends, like Friday, Saturday, or something. So they said, "All right, we'll put this out this weekend. See how it sells. See what the reaction is." People loved it, so they said, "Okay, well, we'll keep selling the cans." So they eventually ran out, and they kept making more. So they kept selling it, and once they opened up. Maybe a month and a half ago, maybe, 6-7 weeks ago, it's been the number one seller since they opened on tap. So it's, you know, it's great because it's, I mean, it's obviously a great beer, but, you know, it's...
The Summer of Ferg. It's a fruity IPA that, generally speaking, I hate fruit in my beer, but I had to admit I like that beer. I like it. And here's one of the things I walk away with from that just that story right there. There's an episode of the Bills Embedded videos that everybody loves. Every year, the Bills PR team does a great job of putting out these series of showing you like some behind-the-scenes stuff about the Bills. And they ramp up to, you know, usually it's about the draft, and then the ramp up to the preseason, and then the regular season. Kyle Williams was filmed after his retirement, explained to a room full of Bills players just what this team means to this city. And that if you give us the best that you have, then the community will open up to you and give you its best. Now that you've gone from guy scrapping to land a starting job in the NFL, renting a back room from somebody in an apartment, to now a team captain on his second contract extension with his own beer that is a number one seller at a local brewery. Can you say that that's kind of been your experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great, and I've enjoyed every step of the way, but... yeah, I mean, it's humbly speaking, I mean, you guys know me, I'm not one to brag, but this is, and I tell this to young guys all the time, it's a testament to what it takes to succeed in this league. Hard work, determination, and belief that you are good enough to play in this league. Because it could have been very easy for me when I got cut to just call it quits, right? Like a lot of guys do. A lot of guys do that. They say, okay, well, I got cut. You know, that they must not believe in me. There's just not a spot out there for me. I don't want to stick with it.
You see a lot of undrafted free agents retire.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, I don't want to stick with it. I don't want to go through the draft process again next year. You know, not the draft process, but I don't want to have to, you know, go through
fighting for a job,
picked up again, tryouts, whatever it is. And that, you know, the next time I step on a football field might be next August for training camp. So a lot of guys just don't have the will and determination to do that, which is fine. But for those guys that stick with it, sometimes you're going to get rewarded. And, you know, I have loved my whole time here in Buffalo, and I'm going to continue doing so for, the length of this deal I just signed, and hopefully longer than that. But yeah, I mean, it's been great. Buffalo has treated me well. The team has treated me well. The people are great. And of course I have to mention how great the food is everywhere.
That's a thing. You're going to be here for a while longer enjoying this with your recent contract extension. Now, I had a boatload of jokes lined up for you about the million dollar man, Ted DiBiase, the old wrestler. But then I realized you're too young to get most of them.
Chris. Dude, or do you just go with a serious question? Hey, dude, can I borrow 20 bucks?
I love the fact that Chris just throws that out there. Now, here's what I'll ask. JJ
Watt. I probably owe Chris 20 bucks with how much he helped me when I first got up here.
I mean, there's a door.
He introduced me to Wegman subs, so that's worth 20 bucks in and of itself.
Well, that story is hysterical. Reed comes up here, people, and he goes, "Hey, I'm going out to get a sub." And he's,
you were like, "Yeah, I'm just going to stop at Subway before I come over." And I text him back, and the hell you are. You're going to leave your hotel. You're going to go down. You're going to take a left out of your hotel. You're going to go down to the traffic light. You'll take a right. You'll see two grocery stores on your left and right, Wegmans and Tops. Go into Wegmans. When you go into Wegmans, go to your immediate right, all the way to the right. You'll see the deli. Get a sub. They're like public subs for those that live in the southern region of the United States. Public subs are legit. Wegman subs are public subs on steroids.
And couldn't agree more.
And my favorite was I got to watch Reed come in here, sit down with the Wegman sub, and eat it in under like 12 minutes. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. That's the thing I love about Reed, is that I forget sometimes that, oh, he's an athlete. he still burns probably what? He probably requires about 3,000-5,000 calories a day.
Whoa.
Yeah, he goes, whoa. Yeah, listen, But when he sits down with a sub, it's gone in seconds. It's incredible. Like, I enjoy good food, brother. I would almost put you up against Joey Chestnut if it came to Wegmans subs. But so, when it comes to the contract extension, now J.J. Watt had to Google what to buy when he signed his big extension. What's the very first thing a long snapper buys when he becomes the richest guy at his position?
That's a great question. I think that's a great question. The first thing I tell you what the first thing I did buy last Friday was I bought a set of golf clubs.
All right, nice.
All right.
So, I went and got fitted. I wanted to do it right, so I got myself a nice personalized set of golf clubs and a golf bag and stuff. So I've never had two other specialists, kicker punter wise, that have both played and been decent. Actually, Tyler and Matt are both good at golf, above average for sure. So I was definitely feeling some major FOMO because they've been going a ton. I mean, they're really building up that camaraderie, but you know, they want me to get out there with them and hang out, and we got a ton of guys on the team to do it. But I golfed when I was younger. I had clubs growing up. I played with my dad. My dad plays a ton, so he's been, you know, wanting me to get clubs and wanting me to get out and play with him for a couple years now, and I just haven't really gotten around to it. And I think, you know, signing on Friday just kind of pushed me over. He's like, hey, you know, go treat yourself. So to answer your question, I bought some golf clubs.
Treat yourself.
And some Chick-fil-A.
That's amazing. Well, what I'll say is you don't have to look for it. I told you, I got the butcher shop with the Japanese A5 Wagyu hookup. That's on me. Okay, to celebrate your extension, I'm bringing over some Japanese A5 Wagyu. This is going to be the best. It's going to be the best. Now, you're talking about them building camaraderie, right? Matt Hawk, Tyler Bass. Did I say that right, Hawk?
Yes, Hawk.
Okay, see? Now, I told Chris that I was going to keep calling him Hack until he proved he wasn't one. But I feel like that's a little cold. It's a little cold. I was upset at Bojo's departure. But then I realized talking to you, you were friends with Bojo, but that's the nature of the business. This happens.
Yep.
Going into 2021 OTAs and just prep for the upcoming season, the Bills have had some pretty fantastic attendance so far. And we're going to diverge for a second here on something because I feel like I want our listeners to hear this. I think that the solid attendance at our practices that are voluntary so far, it speaks to the culture that's been built amongst the team. But every year you have guys from national media, local media, just dudes who call into WGR when they're bored, who hand ring and scream into the ether of social media about how insert player's name here isn't at a voluntary practice. Oh my God, the sky is falling. Now, as somebody who lives the process and is on the inside of it, can we talk about how stupid that is for a second?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, obviously when most guys are here, I don't know the number. I know there's a handful that that aren't. But, I mean, I think it's understandable from a fan's perspective, and maybe people that are just unaware of the situation. But I think it's not fair to the player to think that the guys that aren't here are not working just as hard as we are, because they are.
100%. I mean, we all saw the video of Star Latulule. I heard all the nonsense. Oh, Star's not here, a year away. Oh, let's all, local reporters writing articles about how there's concern about Star. From who? Concern from who? And then Star puts out a video. Somebody puts
one
out a video.
There's one guy probably out there, one or two people that say something about it, and then the media people were like, well, people are talking, and it's like, no, they're not.
I watched some idiot Dan Saleo use himself as a source to try to promote a story about a trade. Like, the media is ridiculous at this point. And yeah. What I love about this is that the players don't care, do they? I mean, you guys are there doing your jobs.
No, because we know the guys are working just as hard as we are.
Exactly. I think most of this...
There's no concern.
Most of this is a byproduct of a 24-hour sport news cycle that doesn't have a damn thing else to talk about. And I break this down into two. Okay, so there's 2 points I want to make. First of all, not all absences are created equal. There's a contrast in what an absence is and if it's even worth talking about. There's a difference between guys not showing up because there's a legitimate beef with the team, a contract dispute, and guys not showing up because they're taking personal time away from the game of football. You know, Reed, how much of your life does this game consume on a week-to-week basis, month-to-month, year-to-year? This game is your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, just off the top of my head, I know I've done the math. If you don't make the playoffs and you go to everything voluntary and mandatory, it's roughly 7 months out of the year.
So for 7 months out of the year, seven
if you don't make the playoffs. So we didn't have OTAs last year because of COVID, but if you included last year in a normal year with OTA until the beginning of April last year through when we lost to the Chiefs, it'd be roughly 8 months of football.
So 8 out of 12 months, this thing consumes your lives. You guys are human beings. You're people. You want to take some personal time away from the game of football, and if you choose to do that during voluntary sessions, it's probably for reasons that, like we talked about in episode 300, our 300th anniversary episode, Chris, when I was talking about the whole COVID shot thing. It's none of our damn business. It's none of anybody's business. These are just decisions you make for yourself, for your own sanity, for your own mental health, for your own just well-being. It drives me crazy. And so here's when I see Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs isn't there on the first day of practice and everybody's hand-wringing about it. I'll tell you what. You know what I'll worry? I'll worry when they're on Instagram getting hammered on a beach singing Taylor Swift with a ukulele instead. You know what I mean? Then I'll worry. Outside of that, I'm not going to give it a second thought. And yep. Everybody else needs to relax. Now, it's just... I hate that aspect of this part of the offseason because everybody gets all ramped up about it. Now, for you, you've been at work and you're working with a new punter, but that's not anything new for you. I mean, not counting tryouts, I did the math. Just practicing camps, you've spent time with at least 7 different punters and holders, from what I can tell, just going over the different roster makeups.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the number in my head was 5 or 6, so 7's not surprising.
So, is it interesting to say, first of all, did it make it easier, the transition to working with a guy like Hawk, knowing that he worked with your brother the year prior? I mean, was there any kind of, did that speed up the feeling out process any?
Yeah, a little bit. I think most of it was off the field. The relationship was kind of started smoothly just because we had, I had met him a couple times just from playing, but Blake spoke very highly of him. And he was good friends with Blake. So just knowing that, I knew that we would probably get along very well, and we have so far. So it's gone well, and then that has translated to on the field so far.
So now every holder does their job a little differently, and we've seen what happens. I mean, even the best kickers, Tucker, Vinatieri, the Flying Dutchman, Mort Anderson, like some of the best, it creates problems for him when there's issues from the snap to the hold to the kick. Now you're bringing in another new guy to hold the ball. How do you approach building that communication between yourself and the new holder? And how do you see that process so far throughout OTAs between you and Hack going?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, each holder has their own – technique, if you will. But because we are starting in OTAs and we have all of training camp and we will also to be together here over the summer for a good bit, there's time for us to there's ample time for the three of us to really build a strong relationship I'm trying to think of the word. Really synergy. Time for us to build a strong relationship for that field goal operation.
Yep.
No. So I think, even though he is new to our room, you know, he's very experienced with holding. He's a very good holder, and that is apparent thus far in OTAs. So he's done a great job, and Tyler has also enjoyed working with him because he makes it. If I make Matt's job easy for him, giving him a good snap, he makes it, you know, just as easy for Tyler to see the ball when he's about to kick it. So it's gone well so far.
I think one of the things that gets overlooked is that your brother's kicker last year, Jason Sanders, had a banner year in 2020 with Matt Hawk at the hold. So with that in mind, there could be great things in line for Tyler Bass as you guys build this synergy together. Now, bringing this conversation full circle and to an end, because that's what a good podcast host does, that feeling that we talked about earlier, locker room at the end of 2020, watching the confetti fall on Arrowhead, the carryover into 2021. I mean, I'm not saying that there's negativity by any shot. I mean, Josh in 2019 said that he would remember that loss until he got the chance to avenge it, and it clearly motivated him. Your feeling throughout the early portion of OTAs, as we get out of this conversation, knowing how this roster is built, now that you guys all have a good feel for what you're actually capable of, the ceiling that you guys could have, and the fact that you're going to have fans in the stands, I mean, emotionally approaching 2021, I mean, where are you guys as a team emotionally leading into what is going to be maybe one of the best years of Bills football on record?
coming off the loss last year, I think we and bringing back pretty much, you know, most of the starters from last season on both sides of the ball. I think we have a very clear view of what we need to do to get where we want to be. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense.
That's a simple, short answer. That's pretty much that's what it is.
I love it. Reed, where can everybody find after the snap?
Sure. Twitter and Instagram, After the Snap Pod. Give us a follow there. That's where most of our announcements will come from. And we are on all podcast streaming platforms that I'm aware of. I looked at the stats the other day. Most people were listening on Apple and Spotify. So you can find us there. We come out with new episodes every Thursday.
Reed Ferguson, you can find him on Twitter at SnapFlow69, and then the podcasts on Twitter and Instagram, After the Snap Pod.
It's just such a weird decision for him to peg you as his producer. The guy has money. He's got more of it now. He could go out and pay someone, and instead he turns to you.
Because I'm good at it. That's why.
I can't argue with that. I can't. Out of all the things that I can debate and fight you over, that's not one of them.
No, you can't argue this. Like, if you tried to do this all on your own.
We've done this before, remember?
Yeah, you would have.
Three sheets to the wind. I sat down at your computer. I said, get out of here. I'll edit the show. And you know that thing where the thing they talk about, like enough monkeys, like enough chimpanzees on typewriters could inevitably write Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Like inevitably that would happen just by laws of averages and probability. I feel like one of those monkeys, except there's no Shakespeare ever coming out of that nonsense.
Yeah.
Guys, it's always good getting to talk to Reed. It's good getting a feel for what's going on over there, what's going on with the team. If you want more of that, again, make sure you go check out his and his brother and Chris's podcast, After the Snap. And stay tuned, because next week we're going to be joined by Greg Thompson to recap our steak dinner That's right. This weekend, the steak dinner bet. I'm gonna be paying it off. Listen, you can't Welch.
No, you should have gone to the Western Door though.
Well, I would have rather gone anywhere than the Buffalo Chop House. But Greg, because he's always a fan of a bit, decided that we should open it up to Bill's Twitter to decide where we ate. And somehow, you people all failed me, and now we're eating at the Chop House.
Have you been to the Chop House?
Not in years, because I had a couple underwhelming $80 steaks there. I was like, well, what?
I've never been there, so I've only Ubered people there.
When you go read the, like, if you were to Google it and then look at, like, the synopsis of what, you know, the Google reviews says, they were like, oh, it's a high-end steakhouse with quirky decor. Quirky decor? I'm sorry. Listen, I'm not a fancy man, Chris. I don't wear a monocle. I don't wear a monocle or a top hat when I go out to dinner. Yeah. I don't believe in coattails. But I'll tell you this. If I'm paying $80 for a steak, I don't want to eat it under a velvet painting of dogs playing poker. Okay? Kitschy decor and interesting decorations and blah, blah, blah. It makes me think like they're the Applebee's of steakhouses.
You would eat under that photo if they just added Michael Vick to it.
On that note, we got to get the hell out of here. But again, next week, Greg Thompson will be joining us to recap OTAs and our steak dinner. It'll be a lot of fun. Tonight, we got to get the hell out of here. I'm Drew Geer. That's Chris Krueger. That was Reed Ferguson. And this has been your Rock Pal Report.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.